The Eagles Draft Preview Edition of the Die Hard Eagles Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Welcome everyone to the Die Hard Eagles Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm Sean, second the money green with my fellow diehards, Justin and Rob. We're back, baby. We are back. Better than ever, some would say. Justin and Rob have new mics. Rob, how are you feeling with your new mic?
Very I like good. It. I feel very, very professional. So far, so good. We'll see how we sound.
Yes, there's a lot of back and forth between Rob and Kramer as to what mic we should get for them, and defaulted to Rob. So any technical issues with the audio quality directed at Rob.
That's right. I had to overrule Kramer.
Justin, Eagles draft season, how we feeling?
I think pretty good. I mean, we got the best GM in the league. I mean, hand it off to Howie, see what he can do, and, you know, let it fly. I'm interested to see, you know, what shakes out, obviously, who he picks, and maybe trade up or down in a few situations with what we have.
Well, yeah, let's start with Howie. Perfect place to get started. Bunch of stuff went down already in the offseason. Reddick trade. Probably the biggest one, although
Saquon.
Yeah, we haven't even talked Saquon. So
yeah,
let's start there. Saquon, where were you, Justin, when Saquon news got became official?
Great question. I don't even know. I think I probably woke up. Usually, I get the news late here in Hawaii. You guys are already texting. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one because I think initially I was against it 100%, like the weeks prior, and then all of a sudden we get him, and then you just look into it and you're like, wow, well, he creates, you know, so many more dimensions to this offense, especially with Kellen Moore running it now. So, I'm excited. I mean, how can't you be? I think, you know, spent a little bit of a pretty penny on a running back, which we never seem to value that much of, or at least spending that much on, but if everything works out with him, it seems like he could be obviously be an extremely valuable piece to our offense.
Yeah, as a guy who's talked a ton of shit on Saquon Barkley when he was a member of the Giants,
yeah,
kind of had to eat some crow and talk myself into it. I think what I like is, again, it shows, hey, we're going to get back to the running game, which maybe they drifted away from. Saquon certainly has the chance to really bust some massive plays from the running game. I think Saquon with this offensive line is certainly something that's exciting. And yeah, maybe they overpaid or at least paid more than they usually do for a running back. But now that we see the salary cap went up, maybe not quite as bad. And you saw what other running backs were getting paid. Wasn't like a crazy, crazy price. Rob, how say you on Saquon?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was similar to you guys. I just thought, not that I don't like Saquon, he's a Penn Stater, but you know, we have so many other needs, especially on defense, that I just felt like we couldn't afford it. But you know, I guess we should have learned a long time ago not to question Howie's management of the cap. So we paid him a lot, but I mean, look, there's no doubt that he has the ability to make us better, that, you know, he's a true three down back, that hopefully this finally means we're not going to have to sub in Kenny Gainwell on third down to block or, you know, in the red zone. I mean, hopefully, I certainly hope if we're paying Saquon, whatever it is, $12 million a year or whatever, that he's going to be in there every down, you know, with some reasonable rotation. So he, you know, he's the best running back that we've had in a long time. And I like Swift. I thought he was good, but I certainly think Saquon's better. He can, you know, hit the home run. So assuming, you know, Nick and co know how to use him, it certainly has the ability to give our offense a new dynamic this year. And I'm excited about that.
I think it also just takes so much pressure off of Jalen now. And I feel like you started to see that, you know, winding down in the season. He seemed to struggle. I still think he played fairly well, but obviously he seemed to regress a bit. And hopefully this just allows us to, you know, add that extra element.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they end up using, and even passing game. You know, Saquon, get him going in the passing game. We yelled so many times, hey, what's the easiest way to get some help with the blitz is get the screen game going, which it's something that they were completely missing there for a long time. And kind of continuing on that, trusting Howie. Yeah, I was certainly skeptical about the Reddick trade. Now, I get it. You're trading an older player who probably wants some more money, but kind of wish we would have had him for this year. But then they bring in Huff at a decent price, cheaper option. Maybe this is how he's getting too cute. But then again, I really had to scratch my brain, like looking for a bad Howie Roseman trade, and there aren't a lot of them. So I guess trust in Howie for now, but slightly skeptical about essentially getting rid of Reddick there. How say you, Justin, on the Reddick trade?
I mean, I don't think it was bad. I think obviously as a fan looking at it and what he's been able to do with us, it's unfortunate that we had to trade him, but I think it's one of those situations where it's just the nature of the beast of business in football and, you know, trying to, you know, balance out the cap with the talent and what somebody can provide. And as you said, he's getting a little older. He played great for us the past two seasons. He wanted an extension. We obviously weren't willing to give him what he potentially wanted. He actually didn't look too happy being traded to the Jets, by the way. and it looks like he might not even accept an extension from them. I think it's just the nature of the beast. Did I like it? No. Did I think Howie made a bad move? I can also say no to that, though, too. I think he had to do what he had to do, and this was just one of those situations where you had to get rid of a good player when you needed to strike while the iron's hot and, you know, not waste the time and money.
Rob, yeah, I think the reality of this trade is that did it make us better for this upcoming season? Probably no. I think at best you hope that Huff steps up and it's a wash, right? And that's probably being optimistic. But I also think that it's a trade that, you know, long term maybe won't be so bad. I mean, you give Reddick the 4-year extension, you know, you get to year 3 and 4, and maybe you are regretting that, right? I mean, he is, you know, going to be over 30, whereas Huff is younger. And I think I think he was cheaper, right? Too. We didn't pay him as much as Reddick wanted.
No.
And I don't know a ton about Huff. I think the criticism is he didn't really play every down there. I don't know if that's just the Jeff's defense or if that's a limitation of him. I guess we'll find out. But, you know, overall to get younger and cheaper and, you know, if he can give us some production, I did speak to a Jets fan or two that liked him. So that was optimistic. But do I think it necessarily made us better this year? Probably no, but you know, sometimes you got to make those calls long-term and you don't want to get stuck with, you know, aging contracts that, you know, didn't pan out well. So I get it. I didn't love the move, but at the same time, I'm not going to criticize it because I think sometimes you do have to make those tough decisions. And I think we've gotten, I do think after the Super Bowl, we got burned with a couple veteran contracts and Howie was able to get past them quickly. But it's a fine line, right? You know, being loyal to your veteran players, but at the same time, not overcommitting because it is a business. And I think that's what this came down to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, anything you wish they would have done in free agency that they didn't do, I'm still a little skeptical that we're going to have James Bradbury as our starting cornerback. Don't feel great about that. They did bring in CJ GJ back, so assuming he's 100%, I do like that signing. I know some people are certainly worried about what we have done or haven't done at the linebacker position. Brought in Devin White, who was good early on, kind of falling off. We'll see what he does. But what do you make of the defensive side of the ball, Justin?
I do think this TJ GJ, you know, signing was interesting because if we hadn't had him two seasons ago and we signed him now, I think there would have been so much more hype for the fact that we got like a quality safety. But the fact that, you know, he's kind of you know, we've been around the block with them already. It seemed like the excitement of it lacked, even though the value is obviously there, I think, for a guy like him and what he was able to do with our defense, you know, two seasons ago. I think, well, before he got injured, he was leading the league in interceptions. The guy's talented, obviously. Seems like maybe there's a little bit of locker room issues with him, but, you know, we got that veteran guys in there. It should be good. As you pointed out, Sean, I think you're right. Linebacker seems to be a big concern, and Bradbury as well. My guess would be cornerback all the way here, coming up in the draft, really focusing on that, and seeing where we are. I still don't think we're going to value, you know, a quality inside linebacker that much.
No, they just never, you can only value so many positions, and I don't, I guess I don't disagree. Like, hey, load up on good offensive and defensive linemen at some, you know, you can't really have studs at every position. You need to get by, you know, with some just either some young guys or some cheap vets. We'll see what they end up doing here at linebacker. It'd be great, obviously, if we got anything out of N'Kobe Dean. He's just been perpetually hurt. I did like that they brought in Avante Maddox. Again, he's awesome when healthy. He's had the same issue of staying out there on the field, but when he's healthy, he's a great nickel cornerback. Rob, any thoughts here on what we did defensively? Did we do enough? It seems like we're setting up for a defensive heavy draft, just judging the fact that there's still some open issues.
I mean, I like the CJ signing. I thought he played great for us. I was in favor of re-signing him last year. Obviously, that didn't work out. And then, you know, there was some back and forth, but I'm glad he's back. And, you know, I think him coupled with either Reed or the other guy that got hurt, I'm blanking on his name right now, the rookie last year that
Sydney
got hurt. Yeah, Sydney Brown. You know, hopefully he said he's trending to be back. So hopefully plug him in at safety too. And you could have a decent duo back there, but, look, linebacker concerns me. I mean, Devin White, I think we were talking, was graded as one of the worst linebackers last year. So although he was a high draft pick, he hasn't of late has not performed great. Now, you know, let's see what he can do. And then I agree with you, Sean, I'm worried about Bradbury. I don't think, part of my gut says he's not going to be as bad as he was last year. I still don't think he's going to be elite. So I certainly am in favor of, you know, cutting, of addressing that position in the draft. And I think we address linebacker too. I'm not saying we're going to address linebacker in like the first round, but I think it is something that we'll address. But I think it'll be interesting because I think if you go into the draft and we do address linebacker, it's got to be a Vic Fangio influence, right? I mean, I said this when we signed him. I don't think you hire a guy like Vic Fangio and then not give him the tools that he prioritizes. So I think if he says, I need a linebacker to make my defense work, or I need a safety, or, you know, whatever it may be, I think you're going to see that in this draft because I think he's going to have a lot of influence when you bring a guy like that in.
Yeah, I mean, you would imagine, hey, we like Fangio, or at least optimistic about Fangio coming in here. We'll see what his influence is on the defense. Kicking around some other signings, things they cleaned up. Well, obviously extending Devonta Smith, which is great because, you know, certainly there was that concern. Hey, are you able to figure out a way to pay A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith? But A.J. Brown right now, on a decent deal. Devonta Smith got the bag, seems happy. And we already have Jalen Hurts on. And shout out to Howie Roseman. He got the Devonta Smith deal done prior to some of these other receivers who are wanting new deals, your T. Higgins and the like. So kind of beat them to the market and got Devonta a deal that he's happy with. And seemingly he's going to end up being a good deal. So I think some teams have trouble paying both their receivers, but hey, I think at least for the next 2 years, I would say we're in a pretty good spot with Devonta and AJ both being under contract. I mean, that's awesome. Taking a quick break to talk about Underdog Fantasy. Love me some Underdog Fantasy. Of course, NBA, NHL playoffs, perfect time to get involved in Underdog Fantasy. You pick them higher, lower. That's right. Plenty of places, even live NBA fantasy projections. I'm looking at some right now. Super fun. Get in higher, lower. You can win up to 100x when you put your entries together. Of course, go to underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN gets you the 100% deposit match up to $100. Underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN.
Yeah, we got a ton of raw talent now, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, which we pointed out. I mean, it's great to see that, you know, Devontae got the bag, as you said, Sean, $25 million a year, which is the same amount as the AJ's getting, but he got that contract 2 years ago. And Devontae, I mean, I know he's our wide receiver too, but he's almost like a 1B when you look at how talented he is. And he'd probably be, you know, wide receiver one on, I don't know, 80% of the teams in the league at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, we got the only downside I see to our offense is, you know, Kelce leaving. And, you know, and maybe that's part of why we signed Saquon, if you want to go back to that, is, you know, the offensive line might not necessarily be as strong as it was last season because it doesn't have that continuity now with, you know, Cam potentially being at center. But with all that talent, I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to move the ball consistently.
Yeah, so
yeah, now, I think, as you said, Sean, the big thing was getting him signed before some of those other wide receiver deals drop. I think it's going to reset the market. And, you know, I was a big proponent, too, of signing him before the season because I really think with the new OC, Kellen Moore, with him, you know, hopefully implementing motion, getting Devonta moving around, and I think he could have an even bigger year this year. You know, if he's used a little more effectively, because he was good as an outside receiver, not in motion. I really think you could unlock him by moving him around. So I think getting him in now was huge, and it really sets the offense up. And, you know, like you said, we have AJ Brown locked down. I just, you know, part of me wishes AJ would just stay off social media. There's always like something popping up with him. This week it was, you know, changed his picture or something to Tom Brady, and that caused a stir, and it turned out to be nothing, but it's like, I don't even want to worry about it. Let's just move forward. We have two great receivers and everyone's happy.
I almost feel like he just gets bored and he's like, you know what? Let's try this. See what happens.
Well, he did. He like randomly called into WIP and it was like a big thing. And it was just really much ado about nothing. Just like, yeah, well, you guys were saying this. You guys always say that. And they're like, okay, well, yeah. So what do you want to say? He's like, yeah, just, I like my team. Like there was really like no takeaway at all after all this buildup and trauma and whatever. Yeah. He changed his profile to Tom Brady's head and everyone's like lost their mind. I don't know. To your point, Rob, I think he just gets bored and is like, hey, I'm going to cause a little drama here. I guess compared to some receivers, we could have it worse, but it seems like just if you're an awesome number one receiver, you have to be a little bit dramatic. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. He could be going after Caitlin Clark right now, like Antonio Brown. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, who is a receiver? I mean, Jerry Rice, who knows? Maybe he was crazy. We just didn't know because he didn't have Twitter or Instagram. But I'm trying to think. I mean, Terrell Owens, obviously a great example. Any sort of dominant, I mean, Justin Jefferson, there's always even little stuff popping up about him. It just seems like if you're a dominant receiver, it's tough because eventually you're going to have to get chirping on there. I do think we got to talk a little bit about the offensive line. Mailata and Dickerson both got paid left side of the line. They look to be locked up for a while. Now Cam Jurgens looks like he's going to take over the center position. Tyler Steen moves to right guard, Lane right tackle. I guess I was a little surprised that they extended Jordan Mailata, but again, hats off to Howie. Like all the core parts of the offense are under contract for a long time. Assuming we can.
Why is that surprising to you, Sean?
I don't know. I didn't think Jordan Mailata had like an amazing year. So, but maybe. I mean, compared to some of his other years, I don't know if this was Jordan Mailata's best year. I thought he was good. But I do think there were some issues, and maybe it was just the offense falling apart. Hurts probably deserves some blame for holding on to the ball too long, but I don't feel like it was his best year, Jordan Mailata. I do think, what are you saying, Justin?
No, I was going to say that's probably part of Howie's motivation too.
You know, maybe
a little bit of a down year. Gotta see what I could get out of him.
Yeah, maybe he just saw, hey, discount, a little little price discount here. Howie Roseman loves a good sale. Who doesn't? But so, yeah, Lane Tyler Steen, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata. They are all graduates of Jeff Stoutland University. How do we feel about the O-line coming into it? I still feel pretty good. I mean, it's tough as fans, I think, to know, like, Jason Kelsey calling out the protections and kind of being the leader of the offensive line and leader of the team in a lot of ways. It's tough, I guess, for the fans to measure what that's going to be like without him there. But also, he was getting up there in age. There was some issues with the snaps. I don't know. He's obviously going to be tough to replace leadership wise, but talent wise, I feel like we're looking pretty good offensive line. What's your take, Rob?
Well, first of all, we're not better without Jason Kelsey. I mean, clearly he's a loss. But I do think Jurgens can step in and be good. I think Steen is a big question mark, and you know, we're going to talk about the draft here shortly, but it's certainly not out of the question that we draft an offensive lineman potentially as early as the first round. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But overall, I mean, I feel good about it. I mean, you have one hole to fill. They were good last year. You're bringing in almost everyone back. And you know, you have Steen, who has been in the system. And, you know, I like the line overall. I think we'll be okay.
Justin, how you feeling O-line going into the season?
I'm kind of with Rob here. Obviously, maybe a little. There's definitely going to be a little bit of concerns with the continuity, right? Especially with center and right guard, as you guys are pointing out. But I don't know. When you got a guy like Stoutland in there, and it's, man, you really start to rely on him a lot and just assume the best. I mean, Steve's been with us a season. Jurgens has been with us a few seasons now. So you should hopefully be able to kind of plug and play them and be able to you know, ride behind them. And I think that is actually a big part of why we decided to spend money on Saquon, as I said before. I mean, you look at what he was able to do with that Giants offensive line being such trash for all those seasons. I mean, and now he comes here, and as Rob said, and you said too, right, we obviously take a step back without Kelsey, but when you have Saquon behind that line and, you know, you got Kellen Moore creating some plays, we should still be able to be, you know, one of the top offensive lines in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I would be surprised if the O-line completely fell off, but again, I think it's tough to really know what it's going to be like with no Jason Kelsey. Speaking of that, we're going to open up first game without Jason Kelsey in a long, long time. Opening night is on a Friday, taking place in Brazil. Rob, it could be late, but Saturday you're allowed to sleep in. One, what's your concern about a primetime game being the opener? What's your thoughts on it being in Brazil? I don't like it. I wouldn't say I would go as far as saying like I like it, but hey, it's interesting. It's fun. I would have rathered it been against like a random AFC team than necessarily the Green Bay Packers, because that's the game where the home field I would have liked to have, but I don't know. If you're going to have to play internationally, do it the first game, get it over with. I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's cool. I don't really have an issue with it. And I like that it's the first week of the season, actually, versus like in the middle of the season where you have to recover from the travel. But I'm with you, Sean. I don't love that it's against the Packers. It's an NFC matchup. You're taking away our home field advantage against, you know, a big matchup, really. And it would have been much better if it was against the Browns or something, which was the other rumored team out there. But overall, I think it's cool. I think it'll be fun. Hopefully Justin has put in to be off work that day so he can watch it, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, we'll see.
Justin, I assume we're going to be down in Rio de Janeiro, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, if you want to Zoom me or, you know, FaceTime me while you're down there, Sean, I can be down there too.
I thought Sean was sending the PJ.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a live pod from Brazil. So let's get ready, get down there. Yeah, I don't know. Some people were saying that they're worried guys are going to be out due to stomach issues. That could, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I bring them down like early on in the week, get everyone adjusted to the water, the food, the time, the humidity, everything. Cause, you know, like that last week of preseason is usually kind of bullshit anyway. Like, don't we just want to get them down there as soon as possible, get them ready for that last week and make it like a fun, you know, you always hear these road trips, guys bond. It's a good time for the team to gel. I mean, Justin, what are you angry about the Brazil trip?
No, I mean, I don't, what are you going to do? I mean, it's the league. They're trying to make money at this point. I mean, you could be, don't get me wrong, but like you guys said, it's the first game of the season. I think we still have 8 home games this season, correct? Because yep. This would have been our 9th. So I'm not worried about it. I did find it interesting that there was something to do with wearing green jerseys and the fact that we're, I think, the away team, or wait, we're the home team here. And I believe the soccer team that normally plays there, their arch rival wears green. So they've tried to outlaw, you know, green things being played there. They even wanted to change the field to black at one point. There was an interesting story I saw pop up. I just skimmed through it, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess there's some rule in that stadium that you can't wear green jerseys. I guess it's like an anti-soccer hooligan thing. You know how these guys get freaking crazy and go nuts. There was an insane video of a kid running with a flare that someone threw onto the field of a soccer match I saw. Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to let them wear green jerseys. Because could you imagine all these drunk Eagles fans coming up to the stadium door? What are you going to say? Like, go home? Like, they're going to let them in with the green jersey. I think that's much ado about nothing. But this will be a very interesting culture clash. If you think about Packers fans, Eagles fans, mixing with the people of Brazil. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in the spectacle of it. I like we're getting it out of the way in the first week of the season. And I'm getting excited for the season. Let's just kick it over to the draft. We got this sweet, sweet mock draft simulator. Shout out to Justin for letting us use his login. It's pretty cool. Basically, you can pick what team you want to simulate for, and you know, they'll pick all the other teams minus the one, you know, or you can pick like whatever teams you want to pick as in the draft. Obviously, Eagles starting with the 22nd pick overall. What do we, and they have a bunch of settings here for the draft. So let's get what do we want to do here for our first one? Now they have public versus the PFF board. There's like a dial. Do we start it off in the middle? Do we go more towards PFF? Do we go more towards public? Justin, you have any thoughts on the settings here?
Maybe a little more towards PFF, but closer to the middle. But I don't know. Whatever right. You want, Sean. Doesn't
care,
really matter.
Care for positional value, less or more?
What do you think, Rob? More?
Sure.
Yeah, well, we'll put that middle-ish. Draft for needs, middle-ish. Randomness, we won't go super high on that. Keep it kind of straightforward. All right, hitting, entering the draft. Starting the draft. Okay, first up. Rattle through these pretty quick. As you imagine, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Patriots go Marvin Harrison, then Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Quinion Mitchell goes to the Giants, Brock Bauer 7th, Cooper DeJean 8th, Joe Alt 9th. Wow, this is already crazy mock because the third quarterback, Drake May, Jaden Daniels hasn't gone. 9 is Latu. Terrion Arnold goes 11. Jaden Daniels falls all the way down to the Broncos at 12. I'm skeptical he'd last that long. JJ McCarthy, 13. Newton, D lineman out of Illinois, 14. Jared Verse, 15. Fuaga, the offensive lineman, goes 16. Dallas Turner, 17. Byron Murphy, 18. Troy Fontenot goes 19. JC Latham, 20. And then Amarius Mims, 21. We're on the clock. Let's see. We got a bunch of guys in our queue that it's recommending. It's saying we should go with the offensive tackle Fashanu out of Penn State. There's also the receiver out of Texas, Adani Mitchell. There's also the Duke tackle, Graham Barton. Cornerback, Nate Wiggins out of the Clemson ACC. Kool-Aid McKinstry, awesome name. But the more I dive into Kool-Aid, the more I'm kind of skeptical of him. I think right now, oh, man. Like, I don't know. What do you want us to do? What do you think they do? Justin, how say you? What do we do here? It feels like, and I'll bring up the odds here while we're thinking on what we want to do. They are favored to either go offensive line or cornerback. It's just, you got to go back to 2002. The last time the Eagles selected a cornerback in the first round. Right now, cornerback is the favorite at plus 125, then offensive lineman at plus 140, then D-line edge at plus 220. I could see them going D-line here. I don't think it's a bad bet at 2-1, but what do we want to do here? Rob, any thoughts here? Position, who do we like?
Tough call. I mean, I'm honestly in my head between O-line and corner for the first pick, but I don't want to reach for a corner because I feel like 22 is late, so you have to see who's there. I don't want to pick one for the sake of picking one. I mean, usually top corners are going top 10, so if they're there at 22, it's like an inherent red flag. I don't know. I'm actually, as crazy as it is, and people won't be happy, I'm actually fine going O-line in this draft.
Justin?
I would say I'd go O-line if Troy Fa'utanu is there. You said he got taken, though. It's 21. I like that guy, actually. I think he's a guy that...
I thought Mims got taken at 21, Sean said.
Yeah. Maybe 20.
Fa'utanu got picked at 19.
Oh, 19. Oh, sorry. Okay. I just remember his name got read off, but just because I think his shortcomings, his run blocking isn't great, but I think those are what he has. Stoutland can potentially change, but with him off the board at this point, I mean, I'd go Wiggins. As you said, he's still there. I think he's my top corner over Kool-Aid at this point.
Yeah.
I am curious. Brock Bowers got picked. Yeah. I didn't hear his name.
Yep.
Yeah. He got picked early.
I don't think Eagles would go tight end first round, but I wouldn't be surprised if they would go second.
I don't think so either, but I think he's a guy who, if he happens to drop, just, and I think he's more talented than dropping to us, but maybe teams don't, you know, value the tight end as much, especially after, who was the guy with the Falcons? Jesus, the tight end 2 years ago.
Al Pitts.
Yeah, Pitts, who's kind of shit the bed. Not shit the bed completely, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't necessarily lived up to the hype. Maybe
didn't
guys
go
aren't
like
going to go with
five
Bowers
or something. He was crazy.
Yeah, he did
high.
Go. Yeah, crazy high. So, but no, that was just a guy kind of looking at to a certain extent. Maybe you could get lucky if he's there, but I doubt he will be.
And I don't think receiver is totally off the board. I mean, Eagles have had trouble figuring out that third receiver spot right now. Devontae Parker. Is their starting third receiver. I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Howie just says screw it and takes either a receiver in the first or second round. That would be like a good slot receiver. Just the idea that, like, hey, we don't have to worry about this position. Keep him on the rookie contract. I guess I would totally be shocked.
Just like screw it, we'll score 80 points a game and don't need a defense.
I'd be completely against that at this point. I'd be fine O-line. I'd be fine even... I'd be fine CB, maybe even D-line, but wide receiver, I have a first pick that we have.
I'm not opposed, Sean, to taking a third wide receiver, but not in the first round. We just have two other needs.
Let's try and draft Nate Wiggins and then see. Cornerback, best cornerback available according to PFF. We'll see where this takes us. Because then we do have... Okay, it already graded us. I was hoping... I got to do that. I guess I have to select the multi-round mock here because I do want to see, because we have two draft picks in the second round. So, all right, we'll boot it up again and run it back. Starting another. I could do this all day. Just keep running these.
Caleb, it is fun, yeah.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Quinyon Mitchell. Man, they keep having these quarterbacks drop. So it looks like I ran it back almost exact same players available. So I'll just do Nate Wiggins again and then see who we have available in the second round. Wow. So they have Bo Nix as the highest graded guy available at 50. There's a tight end from Texas, Jatavion Sanders.
I love that kid.
Some more Enos Rakestraw, cornerback out of Missouri. He's supposed to be pretty good. Now in this we already took a quarterback number one. I don't know. Do we want to see who's available? D-line Chris Jenkins, D-line out of Michigan, Brandon Dorlus, Rook Ohoro, Michael Hall Jr., Tavondre Sweat, some of the guys, defensive line. I'll say this, kicking over to receiver, and it looks like he was already drafted. I was going to say, if Ladd McConkey falls, he would be a fun receiver. Justin, any thoughts on what we should do here?
I mean, I know we got needs, but I just like Jatavion Sanders so much. If you could get him at 50, I mean, and he has the ability to run block. I know we don't necessarily need a tight end, but you know, I really championed Laporta last season, and it would have been, I mean, we didn't need him by any means. And I don't know if we need Jatavion Sanders, but it does seem like, you know, if you're going to look past Goddard potentially in 2 years when his contract's up, this is a guy who could potentially fill that role and be similar to when we had Ertz and then drafted Goddard. In that situation. So
Rob, you want to sign off on the tight end?
I'm in on it.
All right, let's draft this tight end, Jatavion Sanders. Okay, so then we took him at 50, and then we're back on the clock here again at 53. This is where I wouldn't mind going receiver or linebacker.
Linebacker, yeah.
Let's see who's available. Linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker to Texas A&M. Most people have his ADP at 59, very good at stopping the run, coverage grade 85. So pretty solid, looking at not a ton of sacks, but certainly maybe a good run stopper. Really nice overall grade in 2023, all the way up to 90.8. Nice jump for him. Do we just take Cooper? We could go, there's a linebacker from, oh no, never mind. It's a bit of a stretch, but Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Don't we just have to draft him? Linebacker out of Clemson, the Axeman's son. Let's go, right?
I'd take Cooper over him, but I'm not against it. Why not?
All right. Rob, you in on Trotter Jr.? Come on.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we'll see. They'll probably give us a bad grade. All right, we are getting our grade. So B+ Nate Wiggins, B+ Jatavion Sanders, F Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Oh, come on. I mean, yeah, maybe we can probably get him in the third round, but we don't have a third round pick right now. So yeah, we had a reach, but we got our guy. All right. I'm firing up the simulator again. I feel like we need to do, I'm going to go all the way high on PFF, and I'm going to keep the randomness down. Let's see. Because I feel like these quarterbacks should be going higher than what PFF has. So tweaking the settings here, trying it again. All right. So Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Odunze, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt. Yeah. Kind of similar. Jaden Daniels going 14. Hold on. We got to fix this. This is crazy. I mean, have you, I don't know. I don't think I'm care for positional value a little higher.
It's weird how some of these sites, I mean, if you look at Walter Football, it's different. You know, if you look at ESPN, CBS, certain guys are just weighted differently.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. Like, everyone has Jaden Daniels going so high. And
it's like that guy, Peyton Willis, that linebacker. I think he's kind of low on some of them, and I thought he might be there at 53, but he goes really high on PFF.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to keep it All right, here we go. One more. Trying to get some fun settings figured out. Okay, here we go. This is a good one. Caleb, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, I'll go 1, 2, 3. Joe Alt goes number 4. Marvin Harrison, number 5. Malik Nabers, Odunze, Dallas Turner, 8 to Alabama, or 8 to the Falcons. Fashanu goes 9. Fatanu goes 10. J.J. McCarthy goes 11 to the Vikings. Tarion Arnold, cornerback at Alabama, he goes 12. He's kind of interesting. I like him a lot better than Kool-Aid, the other Alabama quarterback. Quinyon Mitchell goes, Brock Bowers, Talese Fuaga, Oregon State offensive lineman, Brian Thomas, Jared Verse, J.C. Latham, Graham Barton, Byron Murphy II, Chop Robinson, fun pass rusher there from Penn State. Now this is a pretty good one. We got Cooper DeJean falling all the way to us. I think the Eagles would be pretty excited if we get Cooper DeJean in the first round, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, looking at him.
Wow, how did he?
Yeah, you know, just play with the settings enough. Slightly down from his year previously, but yeah, I think he would be a pretty good fit for this team. Wouldn't need to start him right away, but maybe like, you know, halfway through when they want to get rid of Bradberry. All right, so we'll draft Cooper DeJean, see where it takes us in the second round. Oh, wow, okay, Michael Penix Jr. is still available. Obviously, we don't need a quarterback. Keon Coleman, receiver out of Florida State. I think this would be I think the Eagles, if we could get Keon Coleman, receiver out of Florida State. Have you followed him at all, Justin?
I have not, to be honest with you. I don't know much about the kid. I think partly maybe because in my mocks, he really hasn't been around where we can pick him, but looks like he could be of value here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he's available at 50, I think we got to take Keon Coleman. Rob, you on board with the receiver here, 50?
Yeah, I'm on board. I don't know a ton about him, but I'm on board.
All right. Yeah. Tim. And then feels like we got to go defense for the 53. Braden Fisk, defensive lineman, Florida State's available. We got a safety out of Georgia. He's available. Chris Jenkins. What position value? What do you think? What do you want to see us get in the three, in the top three picks? I feel like we got to go 2 defense at least, right? So maybe go defense here again.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against the linebacker once again.
All right, let's see what the linebackers.
Unless you got to go too far.
No, that Edrin Cooper linebacker, Texas A&M. Let's go him, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't mind. There's that guy, Jordan McGee from Temple. He should be there at 120 when we pick potentially. But who knows? I mean, and usually when you're picking that deep, they might not be great, but he was the leading tackler for Temple last season.
Oh, now this is what I'm talking about. Listen to this grade we got. Cooper DeJean, A+. Keon Coleman, nice. A+. And then Andrew Cooper, B-. So I will take that. Man.
Howie should bring us in the room.
Overall draft grade, A+.
We're just using PFF.
So what do you guys do? Yeah, we got our
maybe that's all they do behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, Howie, we got a potential trade.
hold on. Let me look up a PFF grade on him. Let me run the simulator one more time before you turn the card in.
We only have 10 minutes, Sean.
All right. So feeling pretty good. 10. It feels like the formula is 2. The more we do it, I do kind of want to get a receiver in those top 3. I guess I'm fine if they go go no receiver. It does feel like 3 spots. We got to go 2 defense, 1 offense, either offensive tackle or receiver, and then a cornerback, and then either a D lineman, linebacker. That seems like the good formula, right? Like, do you have a draft formula you'd like to see in the top 3 rounds, Justin?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to get cornerback. I think you have to get linebacker. I would say with that 53rd, I just, and then I think it's kind of interchangeable if you want to go with one of those three, wide receiver as you like, but I would almost, I'd go O-line over wide receiver. So I'd say, if I had to pick, I'd say O-line, what do you call it? CB, and then linebacker. Those would be ideally. Now, obviously, you go with value and who's there. And if the talent's there, obviously, I would switch to wide receiver, as you're pointing out. But
yeah, I mean, yeah,
I'm kind of with Justin. I think my ideal would be O-line, linebacker, and corner in whatever order works out. But definitely one offense, two defense.
Yeah.
Or as I like to, if you could switch up that wide receiver with a tight end, I'd be down with that as well. I don't know.
But I'll be honest, like, whatever they end up taking, I'll end up selling myself on.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't wait. There's nothing better than they draft a guy and then you immediately just start watching the highlights and you're like, oh yeah, I'm so in. This is so great. I remember when my cousin called in, we were doing the live draft stream and he was like, oh, they took the Giants took Devonta Smith. And I started making fun of Ryan and I'm like, oh, he's too skinny. He's not going to make it. And then it turned out, oh wait, my cousin was drunk and like misread the thing. And we had drafted Devonta Smith. I'm like, oh, awesome. He's going to be so good. It was just a great example immediately drinking.
I was actually on that line as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was fun. What are your guys' take on? I would say that's one guy that's on my do not draft list. Interesting. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the Alabama cornerback. Not interested. Really? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was just hearing about how much better he was the previous year and how he probably should have come out the previous year and how this year he kind of lacked all that aggressiveness and sweet playmaking that he had the previous year. So that guy's kind of on my do not draft board. I guess I won't be upset, but I'll be kind of bored if we draft offensive linemen just because it's not a – I just don't see that guy – playing
not sexy
soon. Right. I mean, you would be a tackle, and then we're pretty set on tackle, knock on wood, if the guys stay healthy. So that one's less exciting. I guess that's the only no Kool-Aid. And then I'd rather not go offensive line because, again, they can get, I don't know, the fact that they got Sayamalu, I get it. He's you know, he's the exception, but the fact that Salen, I feel like, can coach up anybody. I don't want him wasting a first round pick when he's so good at coaching up late round guys. So I don't know, Rob, is there something you don't want to see in the draft?
I don't really want to see another edge rusher in the first round. I know that might be an unpopular pick, but I just kind of want to address some other needs on defense. Otherwise, I'm honestly pretty open to whatever. I'll tell you what I don't want to see is a quarterback taken in the second round. That's what I absolutely don't want to see.
Oh, no.
And last time it happened, it worked out, though.
Yeah, no, it was a great idea.
But no, I'm with Rob there with the no quarterback. I don't know. It seems like defensive line potentially don't necessarily need. It just seems like we, especially on defense, we have other big needs. So especially in the top three, I wouldn't be too hyped about that. The other thing too is this might sound bad. If the talent's there, obviously take the guy, but I'm fine with staying away from Georgia players for right now.
Just because we have so many?
Yeah, just because we have so many. I feel like maybe, you know, they're getting a little too comfortable. Need to step it up a touch. That would be the biggest thing.
Yeah. I guess the Kool-Aid's the one I'm not feeling in love about. All right. Feel like I'm getting excited for the NFL draft. Before we go though, what would be, what is a fun, or it's always fun checking in on the team subreddits, going behind enemy lines, see what they're talking about, see what they're buying into. Justin, Rob, do you guys have any fun stuff you've seen on the team subreddits?
I don't have a specific post, but I've been loving just reading about the Cowboys off season and how they said they were all in and then they didn't do, they've literally done like nothing of note. So I've just been kind of enjoying that from a distance.
Yeah. No, even they are like, hey guys, what are we doing? Justin, what about you? Any fun stuff from the opposing team subreddit?
No, not really. I did want to just point out, sorry, with the draft, maybe like an honorable mention for a guy we could potentially take late round. And I don't know what my obsession is with tight ends this season, but Jared Wiley from TCU is a guy who I think we could potentially get at 120. And I don't know, I feel like he could add some depth for us. So I just wanted to point him out in case we end up getting him or in case he ends up doing well in the NFL. I want to be able to say, hey, I like that kid. But anyways, when it comes to other subreddits, no, not really, to be honest with you. I probably should even be in the Eagles subreddit a little bit more, but it's been the off season, so I've been taking it easy. But right now, starting now, I'd say the season starts for me, and I'll be in there a whole lot more.
Yes, they have the Giants one to me is the most fun. I mean, yeah, Cowboys being in complete denial. The Commanders, everyone's all upset about upsetting Jaden Daniels, the agent. I don't know if you saw that story, but basically the Commanders invited Jaden Daniels to Topgolf, but then they also invited the other three quarterbacks, and Jaden Daniels thought it was just going to, it seemed like right out of The Bachelor, where Jaden Daniels thought he was getting a one-on-one and it would turn out to be a group date, but they invited all the other like quarterbacks hanging out in Topgolf. And I guess his camp was offended. Like he thought it was just a one-on-one Topgolf. So that's always fun breaking down the drama, but and this is visual, but the meme of Daniel Jones being interviewed and he's just like gone completely bug-eyed.
Wide-eyed.
Yeah. There's some great, catchphrases associated or captions. When grandma catch you sneaking the Seagrams, it's like his eyes just look so crazy.
It was funny how quickly though Giants fans came to his defense and they're like, he always looks like that.
Also too, he does look like one of our friends, which is always fun. In the group chat. how he looks like him. All right. It was great being back, chatting up the birds. Cannot wait. We got our live NFL draft stream, Sports Gambling Podcast. Rob, Justin, are you guys available? Justin, you may be working, because what time does the draft start out in Hawaii time? You good?
What time does it start East Coast? I don't even know right now.
I think it starts
probably around 8.
Yeah, so it'll be around 2 my time typically. I'm in a meeting.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you can hop on when the Eagles are on the clock, so and we'll see. And Rob, if you're available, hop on, get some instant reactions to the Eagles draft pick. That'll be fun. And smash that subscribe button. Diehard Eagles back, better than ever. Getting it going, counting you down. I mean, organized team activities right around the corner, schedule release, and then training camp. It is officially the NFL offseason. Cannot wait. For Rob, for Justin, I'm Sean, stacking the money green. Go Birds!
Go Birds.
Go Birds.